Jesus, Savior, may I know your love and make it known. Amen.
Please be seated.
While Carrie and I were engaged in Williamsburg, Virginia, I received a very special gift from a member of Bruton Parish Church named Bill Burleson. And he came to me one day and he said, if you're going to marry a woman from Wisconsin like I did, you're going to need this. And then he handed to me very solemnly this Green Bay Packers t-shirt. And I've had it ever since. This is the one that he gave me. Now, unlike me, Bill, who died several years ago, actually looked like a football player. He was big and burly, and the folks who worked with him before his retirement, they called him the Bear. But to his face, I'm quite sure most of those people called him Major General Willard Burleson. He had been Chief of Staff for United States Army Europe, and he was there 30 years ago when the Berlin Wall came tumbling down. General Anthony Zinni, when he only had one star on his uniform, was also there as a visitor. And in his book, The Battle for Peace, Zinni wrote that Burleson immediately saw the big picture in a way that he didn't. The world had changed. Something new, something hopeful was emerging. Zinni and others kept asking questions that would have made sense if they had been asked months earlier. But he said that Burleson just looked at us with the kind of bemused toleration we give to children. Burleson kept saying to them, no, no, it's over. It's over. It's over. You guys don't get it. It's over. Don't you guys understand? It's done. Finished. There's no more Cold War. That kind of promise that something new is imminent, that is just over the horizon, can be heard in today's reading from the book of Malachi. A day is coming when that promise will become a reality, when the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And before that day, Elijah will have appeared again to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that the Lord will not come and strike the land with a curse. In those words, the words that we heard today from Malachi are the last words of the Old Testament. And that's not accidental. The writings of the Old Testament have been ordered in a certain way so that Christians will read them in a certain way. Here, the prophet Elijah is identified as God's promised messenger who will prepare the way for the coming of God. Some of you may recall the mysterious disappearance of Elijah in the stories of Israel's history. He was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, which is a symbol of God's presence. And so Elijah became, in the Jewish tradition, an image of someone who would return from heaven, return to announce that God is on the move. And that's how the book of Malachi ends, on a note of hope, waiting for an announcement that God is headed in our direction. Our faith affirms that in every ending there is hidden a new beginning. And that's why Christians are meant to hear the last words of the Old Testament as a prelude to something just beyond the horizon. In a few weeks, we'll hear the familiar story of a strange man named John the Baptist. He was outrageous like the prophets had been, and he got people's attention like they did too. John the Baptist had something to say, namely that God was indeed on the move. He was preparing God's people to encounter God's Messiah, whom he recognized in Jesus of Nazareth. And so that's why the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke associate John the Baptist with Elijah. And that's also why you can hear an echo of Malachi's words near the very beginning of Luke's Gospel. It says, with the spirit and power of Elijah, John will go before the Lord to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The earliest Christians saw that the expectations of Elijah had been carried out by John the Baptist, And in Jesus of Nazareth, they had experienced the promised newness of God, which brings healing far as the curse is found. The Old Testament, you can see then, has been shaped in a way that leaves us looking for this newness in the life of Jesus. A newness that can break into our own lives in surprising ways. A newness that is able to show us in our own time a glimpse of God's future. Now, it's interesting to note that the Hebrew Bible of our Jewish cousins takes the same books, but orders them differently. And the last words of the Hebrew Bible come at the end of Chronicles, where the natural ending leaves us with the burning of the temple, the exile of God's people, and the destruction of a desolate land, description of a desolate land. In other words, it concludes at the lowest point of Jewish history within the pages of the Bible, except that it doesn't. And the reason that it doesn't is only because two verses have been added to the end of Chronicles. They've been copied from the opening verses of the book of Ezra to send you back somewhere else. And they remind the reader of a new beginning promised by God, and it's an invitation for the reader to come home. It says, "Thus says King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem. Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up." And that's how it ends. So with a running leap across years of disappointment, we're invited to ascend Mount Zion and find new life hidden among the ruins. And here too we find a hopeful ending, just like we do in the Old Testament. And I want you to see that so that you'll think about that the shaping of those books says something important, something about the shaping of a life of faith. The Word of God stubbornly refuses to uproot hope from the landscape, however desolate that landscape might be. In fact, the Word of God does just the opposite. It disrupts our lives by tilling the soil and planting hope. It gives us new life by changing our perspective and helping us to see that in every ending, there is hidden a new beginning. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, admiring how Chronicles has been put together, says that history is taken seriously, but history can be told in more than one way. And I think that's a good way to think about the life of faith. It's a life in which we have been invited to participate in an alternative view of reality. And that's not as crazy as it might sound. There are always a variety of ways to walk through history. Some people choose to live in denial about the things that are really important in their own lives and in the lives of their loved ones. Others experience the world through the haze of drug or alcohol abuse. Still others measure their self-worth through Visa or MasterCard or the S&P 500. Most of us just decide not to look at the various parts of our lives in the best possible light. And these are all alternative views of reality. The book of Malachi says that the coming of God will be like the rising of the sun. And when I think about that, I think about the light shining down on us. Light often brings clarity to things that I don't really want to see. And yet it allows me to deal with things as they really are. And so it is with the life of faith, which teaches us to see things differently. In spite of the challenges in your life today, in spite of the fact that your world might crumble tomorrow like the walls of Jerusalem or the Iron Curtain of the Cold War, in spite of the fact that cracks have appeared in the foundations of many of our national institutions, faith refuses to uproot hope from the landscape. There's a legendary story about Martin Luther and the apple tree which he would plant today, even if he knew that the world was going to end tomorrow. And that's a radical orientation toward hope. You know, one of the reasons we come to this church is to be reminded of who we are. Here we are reminded that we are God's people and that we're not alone. God is on the move, and the light of God's Messiah, the light of Christ, illumines the paths of mercy and love that we are meant to walk as we leave the doors of this church. It allows us to look at the various parts of our lives as they really are, and then most wonderfully of all, as they really are in the light of God's grace. And that, my friends, fills us with hope. This I believe. Amen.